Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game and the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Willie Donick is traveling back from Calgary, so no Willie today, but D-Mace is here. D-Mace, how we doing?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
I love to hear it.
Just like our listeners, I know they're doing wonderful.
They're all doing great.
And if they're not. Caroline, we're going to make them feel wonderful.
Your date is about to turn around real quick.
Absolutely. There we go.
Nick Kieser is here as well. Nick, how we doing?
I'm good. Well, hey, if we're as bubbly as your San Pellegrino drink over there, I think we'll be good.
Yeah, I think we're in good shape. Yeah. Drink bubbly, personality bubbly. Boxes are checked today.
Oh, yeah.
Predators get a win in a shootout last night in an absolutely had-to-have-it, must-win game on the road at Calgary. Tommy Novak wins it. Or should I say, really, honestly, UC Soros won that game for the Predators last night.
The Novenator.
The Novenator.
You like that one, don't
you? You know who got a point last night?
My man.
Your guy, yes. Livingstone.
Livingstone.
We will get into the Predators, their win last night, what that means for the postseason outlook. But I want to start here because it is, drumroll please, mock draft season! And there is yet another mock draft out from our guy, Mel Kiper. And I know our guy. Yeah, we love him. And a month or so ago, I know I've said this before, but a month or so ago, I was getting so bored with mock drafts because I'm like, please, give me something other than Paris Johnson. No disrespect to Paris Johnson Jr., the offensive tackle out of Ohio State, but give me something. Give me some tea. Give me some spice. Give me some pizzazz. And that's exactly what Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper has brought the heat this time around.
I don't know what's wrong with Mel.
And it's not the Mike Tannenbaum heat that has, you know, Hendon Hooker going number 5 overall. This is some heat as far as the Tennessee Titans are concerned. Again, Mel Kiper has his most recent mock draft out that was released this morning, and it's a 2-round mock draft. So usually what I do is I'll look at the first couple of picks, and then I usually scroll down to 11. Didn't need to do that this time. Number 1 overall, Carolina Panthers. Mel Kiper has them taking Bryce Young. Number 2 has the Texans taking C.J. Stroud. Now, I think a lot of recent mock drafts have had C.J. Stroud 1, Bryce Young 2. Mm-hmm. But really, I think that it's kind of a general consensus across fans, NFL draft gurus alike. They're going to go 1-2. Most likely, there could be some hitches thrown in there. But at least as far as we're concerned for right now. And number 3... Mel Kiper has the Tennessee Titans trading up to number 3 overall, trading with the Arizona Cardinals, taking
Stetson Bennett.
Close. Anthony Richardson. Mel Kiper writes, here's that quarterback for the Titans. The 6'4 Richardson might have the highest ceiling of any prospect in this class. Not something that we're hearing for the first time. If he puts together all of his tools and isn't rushed into being the guy in week 1, he could be a star. And it's a big if, though, because he was extremely inconsistent as a passer in college, true, and has ways to go to clean up his mechanics. Now, the hope for Tennessee is that it can coach him up, unlock some of those traits, and let him show his dual threat ability. And it could sit him behind Tannehill in year 1. As we saw last season when Tannehill got injured, though, Willis was forced to step in, and there's no doubt it hurt his development. Willis wasn't ready to play, true. Richardson needs time as well, and I hope whichever team takes him understands that. I think that we would all agree. Anthony Richardson is a guy that needs to sit in year 1. D-Mace, your initial reaction. Let's say first, because there's a few different layers to look into this. First, the Titans drafting Anthony Richardson, your initial reaction in Mel Kiper's most recent mock draft.
It's not. I don't think it's far-fetched. And I think we've discussed this potentially happening with them moving up the 3rd pick or doing whatever they had to do to get their quarterback. I think this show was probably the first show to bring that up. Like, once, even right before the season and after we found out the draft order, I think this show was more in the line of, you know, the Titans, you know, potentially moving up to get their quarterback. And there's been this back and forth thing as of lately over the last, you know, 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks, especially after free agency started. you know, where will the Titans land themselves? Will they move up to number three? Will they move back in the draft? Can they move up past, you know, certain teams? So I think we've always discussed this in sort of a way that there's a potential for the Titans to move up. Now, what they have to give up to move up to that spot, we didn't know, and we still don't know. But I think we did mention, hey, listen, if the Titans want their quarterback, they need to do whatever they have to do to move up to that third spot. And I think at one time we were even talking about the number one spot, but that was before Carolina did what they did to move up. And, you know, we felt, well, if they can get to that third spot, then they can get the guy that they wanted. So I'm not surprised because this is now starting to pick up. The Titans or the Vegas Raiders possibly could be moving up to that number three spot. And if they do, who then would they get? It would be between the three quarterbacks, Stroud, the kid Bryce Young, and then Richardson. So this is not surprising. I think it would be sort of surprising if they do it on draft day, because they haven't done anything like this in recent years to move that far up. Now, we saw them do it last year, move up a couple of spots to get Treylon Burks. But this is sort of, this is like a monumental move for them. This is a franchise-altering move for them, if indeed they do it, because you're trying to move up for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that's to get your quarterback. So it wouldn't surprise me that it doesn't surprise me that Mayo has them moving up. It wouldn't necessarily surprise me if they did, but it would in a sense of, man, they're really going, like, they're really going for it as far as we need to get our quarterback now.
Like, we are building for the future. Absolutely. Now. And I think the fact, D-Mace, that you're not even surprised that Mel has the Titans trading up and taking a quarterback speaks volumes about how the offseason, how the NFL draft season has unfolded. Mm-hmm. If we would have seen this a month, month and a half ago, we would have been on the floor laughing at Mel Kiper, thinking that he is crazy. But now all of these things have come out from insiders, from people who have sources within the league. Mm-hmm. It was Daniel Jeremiah on the Move the Sticks podcast saying the Titans are exploring trading up to number three. It was Charles Robinson on the Yahoo Sports podcast saying they're not shopping Tannehill, but the Titans are calling around about Tannehill, which is really, you know, essentially shopping. The Titans were picking up the phone about, is there a team out there that would be interested in Tannehill? Mm-hmm. That's massive. And the Titans having meetings with, they are meeting with Will Levis today. Mm-hmm. They have a meeting scheduled with Penn and Hooker. That Rand Carthon was at Florida's Pro Day looking at Anthony Richardson. That Mike Vrabel was at Ohio State's Pro Day looking at C.J. Stroud. They were at Kentucky's Pro Day looking at Will Levis. Vrabel was at Tennessee's Pro Day looking at Hendon Hooker. That all of this stuff that has come out, information, you know, rumors from NFL insiders, or what it's from the Titans have actually done themselves, it has heated up more and more and more the likelihood that the Tennessee Titans could be in on a quarterback in this year's draft. And maybe they are just doing their homework. Mm-hmm. Like, we could be interested in taking a quarterback, but he's got to be the right guy. And maybe they haven't found the right guy. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact that all of this is coming out shows that they're absolutely interested. Now, Anthony Richardson. TD is really intrigued by the upside of Anthony Richardson, as is a lot of quarterback evaluators, football guys out there. And I would agree that Anthony Richardson's size, his athleticism, it absolutely is the framework of being an absolute beast of a quarterback. Yes, the possibility of what Anthony Richardson could be is so enticing and so intriguing. But what holds me back from it is the other side of what Anthony Richardson has been or could be, and that is an inaccurate passer. That's a quarterback that has a tendency to turn the football over. It's a quarterback that I couldn't really get a read on what he was, because one day he could be 450 passing yards against Tennessee, and then the next day he could struggle to complete a pass against Kentucky. So that's my thing with Anthony Richardson. And that's my evaluation of him. Depends on what Rand Carthon thinks about Anthony Richardson. If he sees the potential, And if Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon look at the coaching staff that they have in place and they say, oh, yeah, like we can work with this, then you got to go for it. But that's just the quarterback side of things. Mm-hmm. That's just, do you like Anthony Richardson? Do you see Anthony Richardson being a fit? Do you think that you can work with Anthony Richardson and shape him into eventually being your quarterback of the future? The next question is, are you willing to give up what it would take in order to trade up to number two to get Anthony Richardson? And that's what we'll get into coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, in Mel Kiper's most recent mock draft that came out this morning, he has the Tennessee Titans trading up to number three and taking Anthony Richardson behind Bryce Young to Carolina and C.J. Stroud to the Houston Texans. We'll get your thoughts on that, plus what it would take in order for the Titans to trade up to number three. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. If the Titans did decide to take Anthony Richardson, if they do decide to trade up to number three, what would the Titans be getting in Anthony Richardson?
Well, I think you're getting a guy with very inexperienced, but a wide assortment of tools that you could really work with. And there's a lot to like about him, especially his downfield passing, but his ability to go off schedule, how he could create. And it just adds another element that defenses have to be concerned about. Now, all of that is on the good side of things, whereas it's if you could really harness that and get that to happen more often, that's the critical part of it. So they have to be able to do that. And, I mean, obviously there are some things with the accuracy and the touch that they stand to be improved. But, you know, a lot of that is mechanics and just better understanding of other positions. So I think that, you know, he can make that happen. It's just a matter of falling in the right place.
That was TD on his evaluation of Anthony Richardson, his upside, and what the team that is drafting Anthony Richardson needs to give him. A year of development, a year of TLC, a year of investment to groom Anthony Richardson into ultimately becoming a starting franchise NFL caliber quarterback. And if the Titans are that team, as Mel Kiper has mocked them doing in his most recent mock draft, that's what they're going to have to do, especially considering that they're trading up in order to go get Anthony Richardson, at least as far as Mel Kiper's mock draft is concerned. But D-Mace, you had an interesting thought about why the Titans could be interested in Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, and, you know, I mentioned this to you, and I've thought about this somewhat. And, listen, it may be, you know, blasphemy to sort of go down this road, but I will because I'm looking at Richardson, and I'm looking, you know, at what he did in college. You know, what they, if he can sort of get all of these things aligned, what they predict he can possibly be in the National Football League because of all of these, you know, things you just can't teach. It reminds me, and it's crazy, like, they got an opportunity to move up in the draft. And, you know, whether they move up or not, we don't know. But I think it's more and more likely that they're going to try to position themselves in a draft to move up. Now, whether that happens, it's yet to be seen. It may cost them too much to move up. But he reminds me, in a sense, of Steve McNair from this standpoint. I'm sure when Steve came out, some of the same questions that we're talking with Anthony Richardson, we talked about with Steve. Steve was a great quarterback at Alcorn State. Hell, he should have won the Heisman. His numbers were huge. Richardson didn't have those numbers. But I look at their completion percentage was right around the same. Steve completed, I think, like 58% of his passes, somewhere around there. But he threw for over 5,000 yards and 40-something touchdowns. I think if Richardson is playing, you know, in, you know, more of a pass-happy sort of offense or lower-level type of football, then because of his just raw ability to play the game and his arm strength and him making throws off of, you know, just about anywhere on the field because he can, because his arm's strong, I think his numbers would have been a little bit higher. Hell, I think they would have been a lot higher. But I look at those two, Steve, when he came out, and then ultimately what he became, because with him, it was he has to sit. He needs to sit. He played at Alcorn State, you know, this wide open offense. The NFL doesn't run like that. So he has to learn the nuances of an NFL offense. You know, he has to be able to call it, you know, hear it, call it, and then go out there and put it in action. So the thing was, Steve needs to sit back and wait for a year. And he did that. But ultimately, he became what the Titans wanted him to become, their franchise quarterback. All those things that were sort of question marks about him, he worked on them and ultimately got them fixed. And he became an MVP in his league. He led his team to a Super Bowl. I think probably there's probably a little of Amy looking at him. And if indeed they are, like they have these quarterbacks, they're probably looking at him and he reminds them of Steve. Soft-spoken, just his demeanor. From afar, you see, it reminds them, it could possibly remind them of Steve. And if that is indeed the case, then to me, they're even more intrigued by that, because knowing what he did in college, Steve, knowing what he did that first year or two sitting, and then what he ultimately became, I think that's probably what they're thinking in regards to Anthony Richardson. Sort of the same path. We need to correct some things, but if we allow him to sit and learn this offense and learn what the NFL is about, he has the same tools that Steve McNair had, that he can be the guy that Steve was for us. Maybe I see a small correlation. I'm not saying that Anthony Richardson's career in college was Steve's, but I think some of the things you can't teach, he has that Steve had. The toughness, you know, the big arm, physical. You know, big. Steve probably wasn't as fast as Anthony Richardson, but he very seldom got caught from behind a lot of times once he got to moving. And he's a guy that has all the potential in the world. Everything that you want in a quarterback he had or he has now, Anthony Richardson, it's just – honing in on that, allowing him to sit and learn, and then away you go.
I think it's interesting. And I'm not going to pretend like I am even can scratch the surface of the amount of knowledge of Steve McNair as you can, even in the slightest. But just based off of what you've said and the small amount of knowledge that I do have about Steve McNair, it sounds like the positives and the negatives about each of them do sound similar. The positives of just the pure athleticism and the size and the arm strength and the concerns of, are they ready?
Yeah.
You know, the completion hasn't been great. You know, I didn't watch, obviously, Steve McNair in college. I don't know what the knocks were on Steve McNair coming out of college, but just looking at the stats, completion percentage wasn't great. That's another area of concern for Anthony Richardson is are they ready for this level of football? Anthony Richardson, for him, he played college football at a very high level, but is very inexperienced. Mm-hmm. For Steve McNair, had plenty of experience in college, but just didn't play at a very high level at Alcorn State. So it's the same idea of we can see this canvas or this foundation that's really strong, and we think we can work with it. Mm-hmm. It's going to take some tinkering, and it's going to take some investment into this player to unlock what they have inherently, the size and the talent, the ability to read the defenses, so on and so forth. So I think it's absolutely an interesting thought, just looking at the bare bones of it, of what they do well and what they need work on. It's an interesting thought, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's, you know, listen, if, and I'm not saying based upon that the Titans will move up to, you know, the third spot, but it's eerie because when it's almost like, and I know Derrick Henry is a lot older than Eddie was when Steve came. I think Steve came first, and I think it was Eddie afterwards. But everything is sort of set up the same, and they're trying to get the offensive line set up the same, where, you know, we get this offensive line. Steve comes in. He sits behind a veteran quarterback. Well, if you draft Richardson, he comes in. He sits behind a veteran quarterback for a year, possibly two, or a year and a half, and then away you go. The team was in transition then. The team's in transition now. The team was sort of in transition when they drafted Steve McNair. They were, you know, ushering in a whole new regime. They had drafted Chris Sanders the year before that. They draft Eddie George. They draft Steve McNair. A few years before that, they draft Brad Hopkins. So they were slowly building a winning team along with the veteran guys they had. I think that's what they're sort of doing now. They're just missing their quarterback of the future. And the Houston Oilers / Tennessee Titans at the time was missing their quarterback of the future. Well, they got him in Steve McNair. They can get him now. And if they choose, if they're going the Anthony Richardson route, you move up to three, you can get an Anthony Richardson. And sort of it falls in the same, it's sort of the same parallel in a sense, at least to me.
Yeah.
I could be completely wrong in this, but – you know,
I totally see your perspective, and I totally see the thought. And I think it's really interesting to kind of see the kind of history unfold. Mm-hmm. Because I look at this team now, and I'm not familiar with the team on the level that you are, obviously, of what it was at the time, the Houston Oilers team, when they drafted Steve McNair. Mm-hmm. But what I do know about the team now is they need their quarterback of the future. Mm-hmm. They're looking for that quarterback of the future, and the path isn't very obvious. But right now, that's not the only thing that the Titans need. Mm-hmm. The Titans need offensive line depth. That's no disrespect to Andre Dillard, but if Andre Dillard ends up not becoming a starting left tackle in the NFL, then you need to have another option there. And you can't just hope that he is, because he hasn't been a starting left tackle mm-hmm. in the NFL. Can Daniel Brunskill be, you know, a starting guard for your offensive line? You hope so.
Yeah.
But how much hope can you put into it? Mm-hmm. For right now, your receiving core is Treylon Burks coming off of his rookie season where he struggled to stay on the field. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who's a wide receiver three at best. And then you've got Racy McMath, Kyle Phillips, and Chigakonkwo in the pass-catching core. You need more. You need tight ends. Mm-hmm. You need wide receivers. This team has a whole lot of needs that won't be addressed if they do trade up in order to get Anthony Richardson. And Trevor Maddich kind mm-hmm. of touched on that a couple weeks ago when he was on with Jared on their weekly visit. And he talked about, you know, going for Anthony Richardson or even going for it with a quarterback and trading up for a quarterback versus either staying put or trading back. And what would do the Titans best? This was Trevor Maddich.
Because you've got to ask yourself, would the Titans be better in the medium to long term? I mean, short term, they're building. They're not going to probably go to the Super Bowl next year anyway, mm-hmm. absent alien abduction of some of their better opponents. They just take them, you know, in a spaceship off into space, and the Titans win by forfeit. Other than that, they're not going to the Super Bowl this year, maybe not the next. And so for medium to long term, are the Titans better off with Anthony Richardson and hope he pans out the way they think he could, but those other support players not there? Or would they be better saying, okay, a guy like Hendon Hooker, who I like for a lot of reasons, and I think his negatives don't bother me at all, and if he were taken at 11, it wouldn't really bother me. But Hooker, with all those support people that they would have to trade away in the form of draft picks, which would be better, Richardson by himself or Hooker surrounded by those guys when you look at 3 years down the road and then for the next seven? And I think Hooker, with those players around him, has a better chance of leading this team to the Super Bowl than Richardson by himself without those extra guys.
No, the Titans don't love Hendon Hooker. You're not going to take Hendon Hooker. But the idea being, you're not just getting your quarterback of the future. You are giving up the opportunity of drafting a wide receiver, an offensive lineman, a tight end mm-hmm. with those picks that you would trade to go get Anthony Richardson. Because Jared talked to a former general manager in the league, mm-hmm. and he said that in order for the Titans to trade from 11 to 3, they would need your first, your second, and next year's first and third. So you're giving up first this year, first next year. You're swapping, you know, first this year, first next year, second this year, and third next year. So that first and second pick, that could be your wide receiver and your offensive lineman. That could be your offensive lineman and your tight end. Your first round pick next year could potentially be your quarterback of the future. I don't know. So I have to think about that, of not just what you would be getting in Anthony Richardson, but what you would be giving up in order to trade to go get Anthony Richardson or C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, whatever quarterback would be at number three if the Titans do decide to make that trade.
That's an interesting take. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's right or wrong. But I'm going to give you what I believe would be a perfect scenario in this situation. Because Trevor's not wrong in a sense, but I'm going to give you why I think you can do both.
Let's do that coming up next, because I want to hear what you have to say. And your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025-1063, The Game.
So how this usually happens, so just to kind of give people a peek into the inside baseball of something like that that gets rolled out, is when you're a draft analyst or really anybody and you're working on draft, you end up talking to a lot of general managers about players and trying to understand who's interested in who. And more often than not, the way you find out who's interested in what is you will hear, oh, well, actually, this team is trying to find a potential landing spot for this player they already have. So that player would be Ryan Tannehill. That's where this comes from. You say, well, how would he know that, where would this start, that the Titans are interested in a quarterback? Well, usually that comes out not because the Titans call around telling people they're interested in a quarterback. They call around asking, are you interested in Ryan Tannehill? Doesn't necessarily mean they're shopping him. It's more of a pocket listing. You're trying to figure out, hey, if there's a quarterback there we like, if we can either move for a quarterback, someone slips that we like and we can trade and get in the right range, do we have a spot to potentially lay off the current starter that we have who would no longer factor into our plans? Because if you draft a quarterback and then try to move Ryan Tannehill after, you've lost any leverage you have whatsoever. So what you do is before the draft, you start figuring out, are there landing spots if this ultimately works out?
That was Charles Robinson on the Yahoo Sports podcast saying the Titans aren't shopping Tannehill, but they've absolutely picked up the phone about Ryan Tannehill. So that, combined with Daniel Jeremiah's report on the Move the Sticks podcast, the Titans were exploring moving up to number three, combined with all of the intel and the news cycle pointing toward the Titans taking a quarterback or the Titans being interested in quarterbacks in this year's draft, combined with Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel making their rounds to pro days across the country, which feature first-round quarterbacks, whether it be Florida's pro day with Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker's pro day at Tennessee, so on and so forth, the Titans are absolutely doing their homework about a quarterback. Now, in Mel Kiper's most recent mock draft, he has the Titans trading up to number three, taking Anthony Richardson at number three, and Jared talked to a former general manager in the league who said that would take your first and second this year and your first and third next year. Now, I look at it like, will your team be better with Anthony Richardson being the core of your team moving forward, but you also are sacrificing those picks to go find a wide receiver, a tight end, offensive lineman, so on and so forth. But D-Mace, you had a thought before the break about what it would take to trade up for Anthony Richardson and what you'd be willing to trade for him.
Okay, I'm going to give you a list of players.
Okay.
Starting Wes Welker, Don Maynard, you probably don't know. I didn't see Don Maynard.
I know
Maynard.
Wes Welker. Yeah. But
I know Don Maynard, but I didn't actually see him play. Myself, Cliff Branch, Rod Smith, John Taylor, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Marcus Colston, Stephon Diggs. Donald Driver, what did all those guys have in common? And the list can go on and on.
Mid to late round picks?
Absolutely. mid to late round picks and wide receivers that are either Hall of Famers, borderline Hall of Famers, or produce very high in the NFL. All of those guys were drafted in late rounds. I'm not going to even mention the guys that in today's game right now there were late round picks that are producing. I understand what Trevor's saying. You know, as far as, listen, it's better to have Hendon Hooker and a bunch of people around him than Richardson and nobody. Well, tell me this, and I would love to ask Trevor this as well. Is it easier to find your quarterback or your receiver?
Much easier to find a receiver.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Is it easier to find your quarterback or an offensive lineman?
Offensive lineman.
Okay.
Not easy, but it's easier. Than a quarterback, yeah.
It's easier to find a running back than it is a quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's easier to find a corner or safety than it is a quarterback.
Totally.
It's easier to find a linebacker than it is a quarterback. Not to say that these guys will turn out to be Hall of Fame guys, but they are guys that are going to produce for you more times than not. So with that being said, I would rather, if I had an opportunity, I would rather go up and do what it takes to get my guy. If I believe the guy that I'm drafting is the guy, like everybody's a consensus. Everybody believe he is the guy, whether it's Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker, or whatever. If you got to move up to the fifth spot or the third spot, it's easier to find a receiver later on in a draft or in the next following draft than it is your quarterback. If you have an opportunity to get your quarterback, you get him. Don't say, well, because you're not going to draft Hendon Hooker at 11. You're just not going to do that. Don't say, well, you know what? We're going to wait till we draft we're going to draft all these other people, and then we'll find out quarterback later. You know how many teams have done that and still hadn't found their quarterback? It's probably a lot of them. You know, probably a lot of them kicking themselves in the behinds. And, man, I should have moved up and just got the guy that I wanted.
Because all of
this stuff, exactly, all this stuff that I've been doing, it ain't worked. So, again, I'm not saying that Trevor is wrong. But in this game, it's harder to find those other people than it is the quarterback. You can have those other people, but not have a quarterback that can win you a championship. Ryan Tannehill, that's what many people believe. He had A.J. Brown. He has Derrick Henry. His offensive line was stacked at one point. They were a good offensive line. He had the defense. But what was the knock? He can't get him over that hump. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But he hasn't gotten them that far when they had pretty much the team to get there. So if that is indeed the case, well, that's telling me, well, no matter who I have around me, if I don't have the quarterback, then that's all for nothing. Name me one player outside of Travis Kelce that Patrick Mahomes had. There you go. You couldn't answer it quick enough. You didn't answer it quick enough. Now, a year before they had Tyreek.
Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, I like Toney. I do like him.
Isaiah Pacheco.
I like those guys.
Not Tyreek Hill.
Exactly. But he's shown you that if you have that quarterback, we can make do with the guys around us. Look at Tom Brady. I love Wes Welker. I love Amendola. Randy obviously is a playmaker in the Hall of Famer.
Edelman.
Those guys were great. But were they guys that would have been number ones on anybody else's team? They wouldn't have been. But what did he do? He made them better. You got to have that quarterback no matter who's around. You got to have that quarterback because if you don't have that quarterback, you're going to be limited as a team. We see it firsthand here. You know, people always scream, well, Ryan Tannehill can't do it. We need another quarterback. Well, if I am to believe what Trevor is saying wholeheartedly, then they should have won a Super Bowl already because they had a bunch of talent around it, a whole lot of it at one point. But if you don't have that quarterback, things have to bounce your way perfectly in order for you to make it to the Super Bowl. It just has to. At least if you look at what Buffalo's doing, they have their quarterback, they have their their number one receiver, but they still can't get there. There's something else missing. Maybe
they run into the better quarterbacks.
Maybe they run into the better quarterbacks. Yes.
They run into Joe Burrow.
Exactly. So to me, even Joe Burrow, he has Chase and all those guys.
T. Higgins.
He has probably the best receiving core in the National Football League. And what happens? They lose to the best quarterback in the National Football League. So no matter what, you got to have that quarterback. I can find a receiver. I can find a tight end. I can't just find a quarterback. If he's there and I need to move up to get him and everybody's in agreement, then that's what you do. Mm-hmm. You can't say, well, I got to give up all these picks and I'm not going to have a team around him. Yeah, you will. It's going to take you a little bit longer to build that team, but right. You will have it. Because what is there? Free agency. And when people know you have a quarterback, receivers are going to want to come. And plain and simple.
Totally valid. Totally, totally valid. Because I look at Rand Carthon, and one of the first things that he mentioned in his opening press conference was the work that he and his scouts did, both with analytics, looking at film. They found this running back named Elijah Mitchell in the 6th round, who ultimately became their second leading receiver. I look at running back. Jawan Jennings, drafted in the 7th round. Mm-hmm. And Jawan Jennings is a solid receiver.
Exactly.
Jawan Jennings has gotten a good amount of work in the league. So if you're looking at Rand Carthon and this...
Debo Samuel, I believe, was a 2nd-round pick for them.
I think he was. I think he may have been a 1st-round pick.
I think he may... You could be right on that one.
But San Francisco has consistently found really solid talent in the back half of the draft. He was a second round pick. He was a 2nd-round mm-hmm. pick. So if Rand Carthon believes in him, in his scouting ability and his scouting staff, and they look at it and they say, if this general manager that talked to Jared is correct and it would take a first, a second this year, mm-hmm. you have 3, 5, 6, and 7 to fill those holes. If you think you can find legitimate starting linemen, wide receivers, tight ends, whatever holes you need to fill in the draft, where you can find some really quality talent, even if it's not a position of need, even if it's a running back in the 3rd round, that can help build your team for the future, and you feel like with your picks at those skill positions at 3, 5, 6, and 7 in mm-hmm. those rounds, because Titans don't have a 4, and Anthony Richardson, if you can feel good about going mm-hmm. into 2023 with that, then fine. And also, to your point, D-Mays, it's, you know, those Joe Burrow and his cast, they mm-hmm. always run into Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen always runs into Joe Burrow. That those quarterbacks keep running into the better quarterbacks. The only thing is Anthony Richardson your Patrick Mahomes? Anthony Richardson that guy? Because if so, you trade everything for him. If you had any opportunity to get Patrick Mahomes in this year's draft, take all my 1st-round picks because I don't need him because I got Patrick Mahomes. But is he that guy? And if you know in your heart of hearts that he is your guy, you go for it. Understanding if he's not, your career is going to be very short-lived here. And that's the tough thing. That's the tough decision that he has to make. But we've got a ton of thoughts on this. So let's get right back into your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, and also... Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse South 100 in Bellevue. Starting at 6 o'clock, see your Predators star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. Preds players' guests tomorrow night are Spencer Stastny and Jake Livingstone, D-Mace's guy.
Got his first point.
Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harp with Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita Tequila, pure and simple, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us in 10 minutes. But D-Mays, the people have some thoughts, so unless you have a thought,
let's go to the phones and the text.
To the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, in Mel Kiper's most recent mock draft, he has the Titans trading up to number 3 and taking Anthony Richardson. Andrew texts in mm-hmm. on that and says Anthony Richardson is Jamarcus Russell. No.
No, he's not Jamarcus
Russell. First of all, Jamarcus Russell was addicted to cough syrup. And Jamarcus Russell didn't care about football. Mm-hmm. Jamarcus Russell had zero motivation, had zero drive to make it in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to Jamarcus Russell. Yeah. It wasn't a lack of talent. I think
the
we saw
had
the whole
talent,
display
yeah.
how talented he was. Jamarcus Russell just cared about other things more than he cared about football. That mm-hmm. was the problem. I don't see any indication of why we should be concerned about Anthony Richardson mm-hmm. not loving football.
Exactly.
If there is a concern, I'm sure that'll come through during meetings. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that would come through mm-hmm. at some point during this draft process.
Exactly. I'm sure it will. But it doesn't seem like, you know, Jamarcus's problems are Anthony Richardson's problems. There hasn't been anything that has come up that, you know, he's not a hard worker. He doesn't want to get better and all this other stuff. The question marks are, you know, what we see. Can he be more accurate? You know, his lack of, you know, a bigger resume, his inconsistencies from game to game. Those are the things that, you know, scouts are trying to figure out. He has all the talent. He seems like he, from a mental standpoint, he's good. It's just, are we the organization that can tap into that talent that he has and bring it out from a physical standpoint, not from a mental standpoint, but from a physical standpoint?
Right, exactly. Sunny Texan says, I think all the quarterback talk is your typical draft smokescreen. I'd be very surprised if the Titans actually move up. The only way they draft a quarterback is if a quarterback falls to them at 11. I would put money on the Titans moving back over anything else.
I mean, it could be the case. And the textures, they're not wrong in a sense. I don't, if they move back, it wouldn't surprise me. If they moved up, it wouldn't surprise me.
That's what makes this draft so fun. Uh-huh. Not only are the quarterbacks a total question mark, the Titans are a total question mark. Mm-hmm. Rand Carthon's a question mark. We have no past history of his drafting tendencies. The Titans have so many options at their disposal. Like you said, trading up, trading back, staying put, mm-hmm. drafting a lineman, drafting a receiver, drafting a quarterback, whatever they want to do. I mean, the opportunities or the options are limitless for the Titans in this year's draft. I'm not counting out that some of this quarterback talk could be a smokescreen mm-hmm. where, you know, the Titans are talking about trading up to number three to push the Colts into doing something. Or if Arizona's using that number three spot and using the Titans as leverage to, you know, push the price up a little mm-hmm. bit. I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans are bringing in Will Levis for interviews so they could get to know him before Indianapolis potentially drafts Will Levis. And now they know the quarterback that they're going to be playing twice a year for the next, you know, foreseeable future. Maybe okay. some of that is a smokescreen.
I want to ask you this, and I want the texter to think about this. In any other year, or you could say over the last 3 or 4 years, have the Titans taken this much time at evaluating the quarterback? Has it been this much talk about them drafting a quarterback? Have they had these top quarterbacks in here for visits mm-hmm. or going to solely look at them at their pro day? I don't think they have. And I could be completely wrong on this. I don't think they have. At least the last couple of years. Even last year, they wouldn't bring in quarterbacks in here all willy-nilly, and it was a huge talk about them potentially drafting a quarterback in the first round.
They brought in, if I can remember correctly, they brought Malik Willis in. Uh-huh. They brought in Sam Howell. Mm-hmm. But last year's quarterbacks were different.
Yeah.
Like, there was no quarterback that was viewed as a consensus mm-hmm. top five pick.
Even a year before that. And I don't, but I that, it, don't even the year before did. That, they didn't go down because they figured they had their quarterback in Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
So this should tell you something, that they're putting this much energy into whether, you know, the talks are, you know, a lie and just a smokescreen, or whether the talks are legitimate and they are moving toward that direction. There hasn't been this much surrounding the Titans in a quarterback in a while, other than when they drafted Marcus Mariota.
Right.
They moved up to draft Marcus Mariota. Or did they have the number one pick? I think they had the number one pick.
They had the number one pick.
Yeah, then. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't even a lot of talk, you know, after that. But during that time, yes. But subsequently after that, there hasn't been this, okay, we need to bring these quarterbacks in. The Titans want to move up because they want to get this quarterback or move down again. There hasn't been that much talk. Why? Because people felt and the Titans felt they had their quarterback. Well, now we're seeing and we're hearing the talk about them potentially moving up. But again, like the Texas said, it could be a smokescreen. We don't know. But even with a smokescreen, we haven't heard this much chatter about the Titans and a quarterback in a long time.
And that's a lot of time invested with limited resources into doing homework on quarterbacks if it truly is all a delusion. Mm-hmm. I mean, either Rand Carthon or Mike Vrabel or both of them were at the pro days for all top five quarterbacks in this year's draft. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, it's not easy to make those trips and to do those evaluations whenever time is of the essence around this time of year. I mean, these meetings, they only have 30 meetings allotted. And to schedule those meetings with Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, and with Hendon Hooker, I mean, yeah, you're looking at 3 out of 30, but those are valuable spots.
Exactly.
And you're not going to dedicate those spots purely just for a smokescreen if there's not even the teeniest, tiniest possibility of interest there. I do see the idea of they're just doing their homework or it's just a smokescreen. But I think where there's smoke, there's fire.
Exactly.
It may not mean that that's exactly what the Titans are going to do, but at least there is interest. At least that is on their board of possibilities that could come across on draft day is a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's all just to throw off the Colts.
I don't think it is either. I think it's a legitimate need for this team. And when I mean need, I mean it's a legitimate need for the future, not necessarily this year, because Ryan, to me, he's their quarterback, unless they say and do otherwise. But it's for the future moving forward. And I'm going to continue going back to, you know, this being the most important offseason in a while for this franchise because of sort of the transition that they're about to make. The new GM, he's changed. Vrabel has changed some things within the coaching, and they move into their stadium in the next 3 or 4 years. Getting that quarterback leads up to all of that. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's, I'm going to continue to lean on that, and I'm going to continue to stand by what I said, you know, before all of this started going on. If everyone in that building believes that the quarterback that they're looking at is the guy, then do whatever you need to do to get him. And I remember saying that 2 or 3 months ago, and people were like, no, you can't do that. None of these quarterbacks are worth it. Now people are saying, yeah, maybe they do need to move up and get their quarterback of the future. Because you can't say, well, they can get him next year. They may not be able to get him next year. Who's to say they're going to get him? And I heard Jared yesterday say, you know, who's to say Caleb Williams is going to be that dude? And he's right. He's the dude now. But who's to say this upcoming season he may do it a Matt Leinart and end up not being as good this season as he was last season?
And also think about, let's go the 2019 season. Everyone's tanking for Tua.
Uh-huh.
And Tua was the second quarterback taken in that draft, easily could have been the third if the Dolphins decided to take Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things change within a year. Injuries happen, knock on wood. Mm-hmm. Other quarterbacks emerge, take leaps and bounds forward. Other quarterbacks look not very good after 1 year. So to say, let's just go ahead and tank for Caleb Williams. A lot of things change in a year. Things change in an hour in exactly. The National Football League. Let's get Tim Hasselbeck's thoughts on it. He will join us coming up next. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.